Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to episode 611 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Sweat.
It's Tuesday. Bam, 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 bam.
Happy Tuesday indeed. Hey, this episode, we're going to have a little bit of LeagueCast news, a decent amount of new news. We're going to jump probably straight into competitive league. We'll talk about worlds and the format and kind of everything. Then we'll move into roundtable and mail fight. Aiden, how was your week, pal?
Mike was good. I played a little bit of duo queue. I'm trying to get warmed up a little bit because I want to start playing solo queue on my main sometime next week, or not next week, next month, like mid of the month or so. Give myself like a 2 month or so period to try to hit my rank. So I've been playing a little bit on my, when I say on my Smurf, my account is D150. It's not like I'm like piss Smurfing or anything. But I'm having fun. I feel like Tom Kench is like pretty decent. Yeah, I definitely think he has the gripes of being a one trick, but that's what I sign up to do. So I've been doing well on him, and I've been enjoying playing him. I've been having a couple stomps and a couple ints, but that's been good. Outside of that, finished Fallout 4, games beyond comprehension mid. I feel like
it's such, like, the setting is so sick, just like every Fallout game, right? And I feel
it felt like a copy paste of Fallout 3. I don't know where Fallout 3 is set, but like it feels like the exact same thing.
Fallout 3 is I don't remember where Fallout 3 is. I
know, is it like Las Vegas?
Oh,
like
Fallout 3 is the Mojave, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and New Vegas is obviously
of course.
Maybe New Vegas is the Mojave plus, I don't know. Oh yeah, 3 has
Washington.
That, 3 is Washington? Oh, no,
yeah.
Okay, because it has the big city with the bomb in the
middle. That's the best part of that fucking game.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, having it set in, like, Boston, right? With the stadium, the city's inside the stadium, and they just live in there. Like, I don't know. I thought the environment as a whole was, like, super, super sick, but I think the story fell super flat, which should
maybe
be
maybe
really
just because I played Starfield, which, by the way, isn't a great game by any means, but it's still a modern Bethesda game. And this is, even though it's their most recent game before that, it feels like not a modern game.
Yeah.
Because I remember like when it launched, like, people were complaining about like the dialogue options, the fact that you have like the four ABYX like type selections or whatever. And I kind of agree. I don't even fucking give a shit about like communication things, but I'm like, that's kind of shit.
That it was like limited and to only
four? Super limited.
I see.
And you don't really know what your character is going to say. Like,
that I did remember being frustrated at.
It's like talk back or something like that. And then you just fucking shout slurs at them or something. You're like, I didn't want to say that. like, I don't know. Either way, like, I'm glad I'm not playing it anymore. It was pretty boring for the most part.
Yeah, unclear dialogue options in RPGs are like,
it's a common thing in RPGs.
even in Baldur's Gate, when like there were options, like Baldur's Gate will tell you exactly what you're going to say for the most part, but there were certain times where I was like, oh, this is like a totally reasonable response to this, and they're like, oh no, that initiates a combat where like someone's like, you know, I don't know, you walk into it's like, who goes there, like lower your weapons, you like lower your sword and ask who's asking. Nope, okay, they should attack you.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. But I started Disco Elysium. That game's great so far. Don't really have any updates on it. Just been playing League and doing fun stuff. about you, Colton?
I've also been playing a lot of solo queue. For the most part, went really well. Grinded up from D4 and then was one game out of Masters several times. Just like, I probably was at like 90 plus LP four or five, maybe even more times this weekend. Currently at D2 50 points or 49. Had some quite unfortunate games. I've mostly been playing Senna support and Rel jungle when I get jungle. I think Senna's super, super strong right now. And it is really fun to be able to, like, the difference in playing what I usually do in most lanes. Like, I think jungle I normally, like, play to win early, but everywhere else I typically, like, play safe to scale. So, like, playing aggressive early and actually, like, winning lanes is a lot of fun, as opposed to just, like, turtling for 20 minutes and hoping.
We're talking about Senna, right?
Yeah. I think if you play Senna, like, afraid, it's not worth picking at all.
I think if I tell you she's the highest winner at support in the game right now.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder if it's almost exclusively due to
people playing her aggressive and not turtle.
Well, I was just going to say games being longer.
Yeah, I think that's a huge portion of
games
it.
Games longer, yeah. I don't know. In probably 80% of my games, I have the most damage on my team as Senna, which, in my opinion, again, like, I think if you're going to pick Senna and then, like, hide behind AD carry, like, only pick up souls from minions, like, it's just a worthless character. You need to play aggressive and be, like, constantly autoing their AD carry, like, being in threat range. But it's been working out really well so far. Most of my losses, I feel like I was playing fine. It is a little frustrating when you're, like, the highest damage as support, and, like, you're just like, come on, team, let's get things together. Like, I had,
I think if you played a different support, you could facilitate your team to do more damage.
Maybe.
Shut up.
No, I mean, Aiden's definitely right, but, like, I don't know.
I know what you mean. I was more like, obviously, it's like, if you can play Zera, you can play Zera support and do top damage, right? Like, in some games, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like, at least Senna also has, like, healing and some other stuff.
Yeah.
I had one game which I'll just read the team comp. We were Senna, Yone, Rek'Sai, Syndra, Kai'Sa against Garen, Rammus, Ahri, Vayne, and Rakan. And, like, 30 seconds into the game, our Syndra mid says, Senna, you have to go first item Mikhail's or we lose. Because of, like, Ahri charm, Rakan charm, like, Rammus getting in. My immediate response was, is Cleanse disabled this patch? If not, not my problem, right? Like, if they have Ahri, Rakan, Rammus, and, like, you're that worried, take Cleanse. Or go Mercury Treads.
There is a GM Senna player, I think he's on NA, that his whole point is that you can build any fucking mythic on her. And he does build, like, first item, like, Mikhail's and shit like that some games. Like, because she just naturally scales. But I also think he's just insane at the character. So I think it's, like, the fucking conundrum where, like, good players can just build whatever because they're just better at the characters.
Yeah.
It's, like, a little bit of that.
You definitely could, but I don't know. I'm very much of the opinion, like, if the CC is that much of a problem, you should have just taken Cleanse instead of Teleport, or you can buy Mercury Treads. Anyway. So, yeah, that's my ranked this week. Up for the most part. Looking forward to hopefully getting some more games in and winning, not losing. And that's about it in terms of games I've been playing, so I'll hand it over to Nick.
Hello. Work and study Cooper here. Only have had time for ARAM, but I've played a couple of them. They're been pretty fun. Very excited for our game mode of choice to be switching very soon. I'll wait for the patch notes before I spoil it. But otherwise, I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I started Planet Coaster with my girlfriend, and that's been pretty fun. The tutorial is like super, super good in that game, but there's a lot of buttons, so a little overwhelming at first, but it's been super fun so far. I think that's it.
Just to quickly jump in about the Senna thing, I just found it. So it's like a ton of high elo players talking about it, but like it's the idea of that like Senna can fit into a lot more comps if you are willing to build her like an enchanter in games where you need to. So like building first item, lock it into redemption, is like a growing popularity thing in high elo for like Senna players, which I think is cool because I think it is underrated because she still will scale and she's like not a bad enchanter type character at the end of the day.
Her Q heals for quite a bit, and like if you're positioning well, a lot of times you can Q through an ally to hit an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Nice. Any leakcast news, Aiden?
Just the trivia, doing trivia hopefully like next month or the month after, just getting in the final like responses. If you want to submit a trivia question for our trivia night, we only have like 25 characters or so that still need trivia questions. So if you go to our Discord in our announcements channel, there'll be a link where you can go submit trivia questions for the remaining characters who need trivia questions for. Please do so. I'm going to be doing a draw on November 1st for a random mystery skin for people who submit questions. I submitted a bunch of questions. Not that I'm going to win the mystery skin. I obviously wouldn't let myself win it, but I was like going through submitting some fun stuff. So please help us out by submitting questions for me, a character that you know some cool trivia for. It can be anything. It can be like lore, gameplay, anything. Just something cool and fun. Please do so. That's on our Discord, discord.gg/leakcast in the announcements tab.
Nice. Let's move into the new news. I don't want to go in the order that's here because I feel like the first one we should save for a little bit later. Hey, Heartsteel came up with their music video. Pog. Do you guys like it?
I thought it was fine.
I haven't seen it yet. No comment.
Have you listened to the song?
No.
Okay. I kind of feel the same way you do, Aiden. I think the video is fine. I think the song is fine. But I think the art style is like really, really cool. It's like pretty okay overall, I think.
I think like the song's definitely not my style, but mm-hmm. like I think the animation's like fun. It's like at the end of the day, it's like fun. I'm never gonna be upset about like them producing cool music and stuff for like League. Whenever I watch that video, I've watched it like twice now. I'm like, this looks like Team Fortress 2 animation.
That's so funny. Yeah, I can see it.
I don't know if it's the models or what, but like whenever like I see it, I'm like, it just reminds you of like TF2 animation.
What do they call it? Like a Source Filmmaker?
Yeah. Oh,
that's so funny.
Which I don't know if it's a compliment, but like, because I
no,
like
I don't
it
think
overall.
It is.
I'm just like, huh.
I explicitly think it's not a compliment.
Either way, it's fun. And that's the most important thing.
Nice. How about Mythic Echo? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So they put out a dev blog. Yeah. They put out a dev blog pretty well saying like, hey, we're releasing our next Mythic variant skins. Mythic variant skins, for those who don't know, are the skin line that started with Dark Cosmic Erasure Jin, where it is a chroma, if you will, or a reimagining of a legendary skin for a character locked behind a gacha system where you have to buy upwards of 30 capsules at $7 a pop to get. They released a dev blog alongside this pre-roll saying, hey, this is our thoughts on the Jin skin. And their Jin skin was, their thoughts were, it satisfied the needs of the players who wanted an upgraded fantasy for Dark Cosmic Jin. They also talk about how there wasn't enough variance between the two, so they tried to up it here, which is interesting because I think their original post was talking about how they didn't want there to be too much variance because they didn't want people to feel like they missed out. so maybe they're trying to find a medium spot, but
yeah,
either way,
I'm
it's
sure.
Like I'm trying not to like justify this because it is pretty gross that they're releasing a $200 with an asterisk skin mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. At the end of the day, like I was like a little annoyed about it before, but like if this is the world we live in, this is the world we live in. The skin looks way cooler than the Gen 1, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that they did was like actually went in and changed some of the animations and visuals with it, including something on his weapon, model and VFX recoloring, changed VFX for his Q and W, the stare recall to piano.
This
keys,
is for true damage
like
echo if we
cool.
didn't mention
oh
it.
Yeah And then something too is like W music, but yeah, it looks really, really cool. I don't think I'm going to spend. And then I think they changed how the gacha system worked, right?
They just changed some things in the gacha system. So at the different milestones for buying like one capsule, three capsules, five capsules, 10 capsules, whatever, you get like other rewards, like an exclusive emote, random skin. They replaced some of the random skin things with mythic essence because they thought that would be a better value proposition. It's still a gacha system where you buy 30 to guarantee get it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, systems aren't built on winners, by the way.
Yeah.
Do we know, are these skins ever available, just like randomly rolling a skin shard?
After a year, they are randomly available to be rolled.
Okay.
I believe is what they said. But I also think it's in the pool. You know the skins that you get from Amazon Prime rewards? Mm-hmm. You can get them from that, which I don't think is intended, but like we know someone who got the Jin one from
that. Wait, who did?
That. Not what the hey, Evan, Moral.
Oh.
He rolled it.
Dang, okay.
Which, I don't think they meant for that to be a thing.
No, probably not. Cool. But. Okay. Let's do the pings thing now, and then we'll do the patch.
Yeah. I can introduce this, and then we can discuss it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is a larger conversation about casual players versus the average player in League of Legends. I would say the average player in League of Legends is a hardcore player in most other games, is the way I'm going to pitch this. So Freak, in his patch preview on his YouTube channel, he talks about the ping changes that a lot of people are upset about. The changes where you can no longer ping your allies, they're removing communication from the game, etc. He did a little discussion about it. It's like a 5-minute thing in his video. I'd recommend go checking it out. It's at the beginning. Where he talks about, so every patch, if you've ever played a game of League of Legends, sometimes after the game you'll get a survey that says like how do you think the game went, how do you feel about the strength of your character, and they pump these out constantly, right? Mm-hmm. These will go out to every player like every couple patches, whatever. So they have pretty good data to see when these things they ask about change. So the biggest takeaway that he said was that all of the metrics related to stuff like I felt respected by my teammates, I was tilted or not in my last game, I had positive or negative interactions with chat, I had positive or negative interactions with ping systems. On the change of whatever patch they implemented, the ping changes, every single one of those metrics went, all the positives went up and all the negatives went down, right? Mm-hmm. So even if I like, even myself, I think that the ping changes fucking do affect the game, especially at like a higher elo. Like, but I'm a hardcore player compared to what the average league player is, what the actual average league player is, the casual league player, if you will. The reality is, I have no reason to not trust Freak what he's saying. There's definitely some people who fucking are saying that they're lying about it to make it happen, which is crazy. If the average player is enjoying the game more because they're not being spam pinged and harassed by their teammates, I think it's a net win. And if that's the case, then so be it.
Yeah. So I'll actually open it up by saying I do think that removing the pings is a good thing. I almost wonder if the verbiage that they used on the surveys kind of directed responses in a specific way. I'm just kind of looking at like the quotes here, like felt respected by my teammates, interactions with chat, interactions with the ping system.
It very much when he was talking about that, by the way, it sounds like he's kind of riffing off of like that.
Okay.
Just like those are the exact things he said, but like it very much felt like he was just trying to pull shit.
Gotcha. I mean? Okay. I was just interpreting the quotes as like directly pulled from the
like
surveys.
He did say those things.
Okay. Because it's like, okay, if you're asked like, did you have a positive interaction with the ping system and no one pinged you the bait ping or pinged you 6 times and you made a mistake? Yeah, you know, you could, even though that may not be the best change for the game overall, right?
Yeah.
But if that wasn't the case, then never mind. I'll put my little armchair psychology degree back in the drawer. But I mean, I think it's a great change. Obviously, those pings had some value outside of their toxic use, but for the most part, I don't think anyone. I think those are very rarely used positively. So getting rid of them is just the right call.
I had a long discussion with someone who doesn't play the game that often. They kind of play casually with ARAMs and stuff, where on ARAMs right now, you can still get pinged, by the way. They haven't changed it for ARAMs, which is interesting to me. And it was kind of a discussion of like, yeah, like every single time like someone gets pinged, it is kind of just negative, right? And it really like dampens the mood. Maybe it's different because it's like ARAM and it's supposed to be like a fun casual mode, and like it is definitely like takes you out of it when you get fucking flamed for your build in ARAM or whatever. But like as a casual player, for example, from this perspective, if it actually does make you not want to play the game because you fucking didn't use your flash or didn't use your exhaust, if someone just spam pings it, then fuck, I don't want people to feel like that. Like, maybe we're going back to the discussion of people being too soft, but like, I don't know, man, it's a fucking video game, right? Like, if people want to in their free time play a video game to enjoy themselves and other people are making that experience negative, fuck, I want Riot to implement things like this that make people feel better, right? Even if it's at the cost of like maybe some level of communication. People don't fucking respect or use the communication properly, then fuck it, they don't deserve the communication.
Yeah, and I don't want to I do think those things aren't like mutually exclusive, right? That going back to our discussion on, you know, being too soft and being too like offensive, I don't think it's like a binary situation. In reality, people should be a little more tougher skinned. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't log on to a video game and, you know, have people make you less happy because it's a video game and like you're losing. So finding some middle ground and like you said, I actually really like the way you phrase that. Like, if you can't, you know, use this properly, then you don't deserve to communicate via pings.
We play with all, like, we play with some people that, like, I would say use communication tools poorly.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it's like, I don't know, like, part of me is like, fuck, man, that is, I don't want to use the term embarrassing, but, like, it is sad, right? Like, when, like, it's just like, fuck, maybe Riot is right. Like,
especially when you're playing with them in the game, you're, like, for me, when you're in voice chat and they're saying the same things that they would be typing,
yeah,
but they're already chat restricted from, you know, abusing the communication system.
Yeah, it just feels like a system that's just abused. And maybe like there should be, also I guess like just to bring this back to like the original point of like Freak talking about this, he also said that they are going to continue to work towards, they've restricted this system, right? They restricted communication systems, and they are going to work towards finding ways in which you can properly use it in proper scenarios, right? Like, we kind of made fun of them like last patch for the idea of like, oh, when your teammate gets a kill or something, you can ping them for like a couple seconds because that's a like time in which you would do it positively. Maybe they're kind of right, man. Like, maybe we do have to like open up the gates when you're allowed to be nice to your teammates and when you're not allowed to be mean to them. Like,
yeah,
like,
it's really funny until you realize that like that is exactly like what needs to,
yeah,
to, what the like the player base who is using pings in an inappropriate way needs, you know, guardrails on.
Yeah, it's almost fucking, like, I'm not going to specifically talk about individual people, but, like, it's fucking embarrassing that they need this.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's, like, I just, that is part of the reason that I don't really truly understand why you just can't be, like, nice to people. Or what, and this is something that I have personally realized, like, I was getting upset at, chat I think last season, and I actually got I didn't get a chat restriction, I haven't gotten a punishment, but I got one of the warnings for something that I said. I think I told one of my teammates to like lick my fat cock or something, and it, you know, flagged the or got flagged, and you know, I didn't get a punishment, got a warning. But then like I feel like I, you know, was able to have the self-realization that okay, I can't use chat in a responsible manner. Like, now I just have all chat turned off, right? And I'm not sure. I'm just not sure where we've had people in the past who are like this, who are like, I like literally have to unmind my anarchy or I will be the most toxic person you've ever seen in your entire life. And like that disconnect just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think one other thing, and again, like talking from personal experience with a friend of ours we all know, where like when he gets chat restrictions, he'll then like go and like say like, this is what I said, and then like go on a rant about, you can't say anything. It's like, I can't call my teammates like fucking awful, or you're like, you're retarded. Like, I can't say anything. It's like, why do you have to? right? Like, no, like, yeah, just like, I mean, I suppose like if you want to be able to criticize and like not get restricted, you'd be like, hey, I think that was a really bad play, or like, you know, you can flame them in that way. But it's like, why do you have to? Like,
yeah, there's just that, like, difference just between useless, like criticism well. And toxicity, right?
Yeah, and it
like criticism is okay. Mm-hmm. Toxicity is not.
Also, who the fuck is in the middle of a League of Legends game? You mess up a play, goes, hey, can I have some criticism for my play there? I would love to improve our next dive. Like, it's just fucking.
Or even like even if it's like said, like if they tell you exactly, it's like, hey, you needed to tank one more tower shot before like repelling as Elise, like. One out of 100 times they read that and don't say like and say, oh yeah, good point, I'll do that next time. No, 99 times they're just like, fuck you, I know how to play my character.
Yeah, I just want to like quickly bring it back to that idea of the beginning. I do think there is a disconnect of what the average, I think the average player in League of Legends is a hardcore player is what I'm trying to get at. I think there is a disconnect of the everyone who uses like social media, like Reddit, Twitter, YouTube, and watches League of Legends videos and comments on League of Legends videos or listens to League of Legends podcasts. You are not a casual player.
Yeah.
These are all people like, who are very invested in the game. The casual players are the ones who play like 2 ARAMs on the weekend and haven't read patch notes in 6 years.
Or they don't. They still play like a fair bit, but like they just like hop on after work. You know, they finish their job. They play a couple games with the boys, and they hop off for the night. They don't read patch notes. They don't pay attention to what anything is going on. Like, that's the casual player, man. Like, as much as people like complain about like Riot ruining the game, they're fixing the game for the majority. Even if like you yourself who like is online all the time like doesn't think so, right? Like I loved using pings. I think pings are a super valuable tool, and I think it's annoying as fuck, as mentioned in past episodes, that people can fucking just mute themselves and then you're just talking to a wall, right? That's annoying, but like, fuck man, if that's the system that's needed for our game, then that's the system that's needed for our game.
Yeah, how can you blame someone when, you know, in a large portion of the games people are just being rude? Cool.
I would say the majority. Like, maybe not the majority. I would say, like, there is no game that you go into where someone isn't spam pinging, spam typing, whatever, right? Like, yeah, someone out of the 10.
I do think, like, it's a little... I've mentioned before that I don't necessarily think that League and its players are more toxic than any other, like, group of player. I don't think there's anything inherently toxic about League. I just think, like, you know, since there are 10 players and the games are so long... If you just have one bad interaction with a teammate or an enemy, like, that just dampens the entire game for you, right? Then you think, like, one person is rude to you, but 8 people are really nice to you, you're only going to remember the one rude person. And that was a, you know, League is toxic game.
Yeah, and like, it snowballs on itself. Like, if one person is being toxic, let's say, like, the 5-minute mark, but they're being toxic from 5 minutes to 15 minutes... And then, like, at 15 minutes, one other person on your team starts responding to them, being like, hey, you're an asshole. Stop being so toxic. Like, I hate you. And then, like, everybody jumps in, right? Like, you have so many more opportunities and so much more time for that to, like, snowball on itself. And then now, like, maybe your entire team is flaming each other. Or, like, the 4 people are flaming the one person, but still 5 people are flaming.
I think that's something I need to get better about. Like... I'm very, very bad that if someone is being a fucking asshole in game, I'm very fucking bad about, like, not just wanting to, like, fight them in fucking keyboard combat, right? Especially shit like
in real life.
Dude, anyone who fucking pings, types, whatever in ARAM, dude, I immediately want to pull up their match history. I immediately find the fact that they queue ARAMs by themselves every fucking day. I fucking screenshot their Silver 2 finish for the last 5 years. Dude, it makes me... It's just... Oh my god! Just the fucking lowest low of the.
You're getting heated just talking about it.
It's just like I just hate those players. Like, they're just fucking losers, and they just ruin the experience. And maybe I'm also like, I think I am making it a worse place by like typing back at them. But like, fuck, man, it's just crazy that people do that. Like,
yeah, it's sort of like the vigilante justice is still, you know, not it's still legal, right? Even though it's maybe the morally okay thing, but yeah. Hey, just be nice to people. How about that? Cool. Let's talk about the patch then. Patch 1321. Hey, guys. Guess what's back? It's Nexus Blitz. ton of changes. Woo-hoo. We are not going to go through them all, but if you would like to, you can, you know, definitely see that. They're listed first in the patch notes, so check it out. Our first champion is Aurelion Sol. Q damage is decreased. So I believe they just changed a lot of his ability from his, or the damage from his Q is moving from the actual like flat damage portion of it to the percentage max health. No, that's remaining the same. Okay, so they're just like they're just nerfing the damage on it.
Yeah,
but still probably very good.
Yeah, the base damage is going down and the ratio. Belveth E cooldown decreased by 4 seconds at rank 1 down to 2 seconds at max rank.
Let's talk about the most fun change on the patch, Brand. Why is Brand the most fun? That doesn't make any sense. Hey, his attack speed early is increased. His attack speed growth is increased. His armor is increased. His armor growth is decreased. His health is decreased. His health growth is increased. What is that even like? What's the point? Oh, it's because his passive monster damage is increased and his E damage is decreased. That's beside the point. Brungle is back, baby.
His passive monster damage is going from 120% damage
to 220%.
But they are capping the monster tick down. I think it's the biggest thing.
No, for sure. But it's unchanged. You know, that's always been the cap.
I love how they're trying to make Brand jungle good, but they buffed the attack speed, so we're probably gonna get like Trinity Force, Static Shiv, Brand mid.
Okay, two feet. Oh, I see. That's very funny. No, he doesn't have a movement ability or a movement speed, you know, ability.
You can flash.
Yeah.
That's true. Sorry, yeah, never mind. Sorry, guys.
It's probably coded that his ultimate is him, so that's him dashing around a bunch of times.
That'd be so sick, actually.
That's really funny. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Brand jungle may not be good. He probably has the weakest level 1 and 2 in the entire game. But boy howdy, once he hits that level 3, it's going to be crazy. So I enjoy Brand. I think the champion's a lot better than his pick rate would indicate. So let's do it.
He's grody.
Cool.
Up next, Briar. Attack speed growth is being decreased. Her passive, the heal on it, is increased. And her W sneak attack damage is decreasing, I believe.
That character's OP. Can we just say? We can say.
I'm just
it, right?
gonna scroll down to the.
The ratio is being very minimally decreased on the W. The attack speed is being minimally decreased, and the heal on. This seems like a nothing change.
It's still nice though.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's OP. I think she is fucking way too easy to play for what she does.
Hey, don't worry, she's getting gutted on ARAM. Her
healing. She's getting She is, dude, it's crazy that she went from the worst ARAM character I've ever seen to like
one of
you
the
have
best.
To have a tank that just fucking sits on her. Or else you lose in ARAM.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? There's one more thing. Fuck. Fuck it. I feel like part of my Briar hate is that I played a ranked game against someone who went from Platinum 4 to Diamond 1. They gained 1,000 LP playing only Briar.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's actually pretty believable strong. Because the character's insane.
Oh, it's so gross, man.
Dang. Caitlyn, headshot damage is increased with critical strike chance. Ultimate cooldown is increased. Damage decreased. The bonus damage with crit strike chance will be increased. Hey, stop playing Lethality, Caitlyn.
I wonder if it will change it enough. Like, the alt cooldown is, like, the main change.
I almost wonder if, like, you'll still go maybe, like, collector plus one lethality item into, like, full crit. Just to sort of, like, min-max that a little bit. Because I imagine, like, you probably don't want to go full lethality anymore. You probably do want to go, like, Infinity Edge or something like that. But
like,
I can't imagine, like, collector's bad on her.
Yeah, you could still very much go like collector, LDR, like Axiom, Infinity Edge.
Yeah.
And like get a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, the 90 second cooldown I think is pretty huge. Because I think that was one of the biggest problems of it is, like, not only does the R do a ton of damage, but it becomes, like, a 30-second cooldown that you're just proccing and getting 100 gold every time you cast it from first strike.
Mm-hmm. Outside of, like, 100 gold, I feel like that's how Caitlyn's always been, too, and I've always thought it was kind of degenerate. Like, late-game Caitlyn is just you, the first person you see, you click alt on.
The first, like, non-tank,
Mm-hmm. It's kind of gross. Bundo is getting his E bonus attack damage decreased. Sorry, you can go back to Caitlyn if you want.
No, I was going to say, I think the best way to do it is, I think that they should make it, like, awful damage on a full health target and have, like, a really good execute.
Oh, I think you should just, like, maybe you just have, like, insta-kill. A stacking... Yeah, insta-kill. A stacking debuff where, like, your auto attacks will increase the damage of your ultimate...
Yeah,
like on the same target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. I could also see, like, you could incorporate it with, like, the headshot, where it's like, if you have headshot up when you cast R, it could deal bonus damage. But yeah, like, I really dislike the gameplay loop of Caitlyn ults a full health target at the beginning of the team fight, rather than, like, you know, gets a final kill with it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden cool. covered Mundo. Up next, we've got Hecarim. Attack damage growth is being increased, and the duration of his W is being increased. So some buffs.
I didn't realize this character was OP. Maybe I just haven't played the game in a really long time.
No, these are buffs, so he's weak. He was weak.
They are...
buffs.
Oh, they're... that's wild, because his little blurb says attack bonus... bonus attack damage decreased.
Yeah, they don't fucking proofread their shit, man.
No, these are nerfs. Are you guys dumb?
Attack damage growth is going from 3.2 to 3.7. That means 9 more AD at level 18.
Nick, we're talking about Hecarim, not Mundo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were still talking about
I got you.
Oops.
Anyway.
Shut up. Jinx, passive stacks adjusted. Hey, you can only get Jinx. You only get 5 stacks now.
That's fine. It's still a weird.
And you can only
change,
get it from epic monster kills and champion takedowns.
Yeah, well, like epic monsters don't increase the stack.
Oh,
they
refresh.
Yes, so you still get excited off a tower or an epic monster, but if I kill, like, the inhib tower and then the inhibitor, I'm not at 2 stacks of excited. I'm just still one.
I see, it refreshes
duration.
Cool. Cassante, all abilities except E are adjusted. Several bug fixes. It's mostly, like, kind of buffs. And then, like, his W... we're talking about this. So, Cassante's stronger than he was. Also, they removed all the fucking space gliding stuff that I was posting about on the Discord.
Yeah, that was so funny to see.
Dude, it wasn't that hard to do. You had to fucking turn on quick cast, like normal cast, quick cast. And you then had to... go to your E and bind it to the E key.
Okay.
But then you could fucking space glide him, which is sick. Because you could make your W go off twice. But anyways, they removed that. But, like, Colton and Trevor and I were talking a fair bit. I think there's an issue with him. His W is the only ability, to my knowledge, in the game that has a minimum cast time. Like, outside of, like, just long channels. Like, Ezreal is obviously a channel, right? But, like, you're locked into the ability. And I feel like that's an issue, right? It's weird to be, you click a button and then you're locked into that button for, like, even, like, 3/4 of a second.
I feel like there's probably some, I guess, similar. I don't know if he's
the closest ones are shit like Nunu W. You can't insta-cancel Nunu W, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, like, I think that's different. Like, I think it's so much different than a ability that just locks you in place as, like, a thing that you can channel, but there's a minimum channel time.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think the biggest change for his W is not only the minimum cast time or channel time or whatever, but okay, so in the changes, it's not, the minimum channel time is no longer there.
It's still there. It's 0.75 seconds.
Okay. But I feel like you charge it way faster than you used to. So you get, like, longer range, like, full W's now.
Yeah, the biggest thing is, like, before, obviously, you would just tap cast it, like, 90% of the mm-hmm. time. I just think that it's a very... It makes him feel infinitely more clunky than I think, any other character in the game, which is weird, because I think the rest of his kit is very, like, flowy, right? Like, you dash into Qs, you, before you W into alts, you'd have all these combos, where now it's like, oh, you have all these combos, except that if you click your W key, you're just a rock.
Yeah, but I like, I do think, like, there's some merit to what Riot is saying, that, like, if you mastered the Cassante combo, like, there was just no counterplay if you don't have flash.
Yeah, I agree. I also don't think it means you have to just, like, I don't know. I think the W is one of the worst decisions they've made.
I just don't know, like, what else you do, I guess.
I think you just give it a fixed.
Make it push on. Less distance. Or, yeah, just make it fucking push less distance. Like, there's a billion things that you can do that make him not just fucking feel like you lock yourself out of other ability. I don't know. I don't know. You have to play it, dude. Like, just play one.
Yeah, game. I mean, I'm not a Cassante player, so.
It's probably the worst feeling thing in League, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not.
I didn't play him that much before.
I don't disagree with that. I just think, like, I think he is such a hard character because I feel like with his old kit, prior to the changes, it's just such a binary, like, you can either, like, 100-0 somebody with your combo, or you're just a walking, like, bag of gold, you know?
Yeah, it just feels weird.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't think they would do this to any other character. It very much feels like we don't know what the fuck to do, so we're gonna just make him break his own legs if he clicks that button.
Yeah.
Very strange. I don't know.
I feel like his win rate's gonna go up way high.
It will go up. He was the hardest character in the game to play. For, like, tanks, that is, I guess, tank bruisers.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's Cassante.
LeBlanc.
LeBlanc. W damage increased. E tether completion damage increased. So the second tick of her E. The ratio is going up for both, but the base damage is not. So, hey, build AP on LeBlanc.
No. Master Yi, his E cooldown's decreased. Whoa. 4 seconds is a long time, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's decent, too. And he's actually not that bad. I think he's less bad than people think. Morgana, her W damage is increased. Her damage to monsters is increased. They're still pushing fucking jungle Morgana. Her win rate went up 7%.
More gungle, you mean?
They need to fucking buffer more.
Morgana jungle win rate or support as well?
Morgana jungle win rate, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It went up from 43 to 50, and they're like, we need to give her another one. It's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It is really weird between the brand changes and later on the Zyra changes. I just don't know why junglers can't be junglers, you know?
Strange. She won the lottery.
She's not the only one. They're giving out prizes to everybody.
Yeah, it is wild how, I said at the beginning of the show, I have started playing Rell Jungle for, like, the first time this patch, which I think got better, obviously, with the changes they made to pets making tanks clear faster. Rell's first clear, it's not crazy fast, but she can take Raptor Camp instantly at level 2. Like, if you hit the entire Raptor Camp with WQ, it, like, dies.
Wow.
It's wild. So that's...
I mean, there's a reason she's really, really high presence at Worlds, right?
Yeah. I think she's, like, a very, very good tank jungler, I think. You get very low cooldown access to a lot of that CC. Like, you can engage, you can get a lot of good angles with Hex Flash and, like, W... but yeah, I don't know, like, I've been a lot of times pathing where I'll, like, take one camp and then go take the enemy raptors into their buff, and, like, you just kill the raptor camp instantly. It's wild.
Dang.
Because your Q does, like, plus 400 damage to monsters.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
Up next, Rammus, Q damage decreased, W armor decreased.
Cool. Seraphine, early mana regen buffed, durability shifted from health to armor, base ability values are increased, AP ratios are decreased, cooldowns are decreased. A lot of people are up in arms about this.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is they're trying to make her stronger in support, which is her weakest role statistically, right? And they're also trying to avoid buffing her for mid lane, because even though her win rates go... like bottom carry, like 80 carry position, mid and then support, with the biggest gap between mid and support, like 80 carry is, like, pretty high, and then Actually, they're all pretty even. I think they're all like 3% average. Like 53, 50, 47, for example, mm-hmm. For 80 carry mid support. And the issue is, we want her to be, she was designed as a mid laner. People really like playing her support because I think she fits into that archetype that a lot of people like. How do we like make her stronger for support while also allowing her to be a mid laner, but also not making it so she's not just fucking even stronger as like a bottom lane carry? It's hard, man. So I think they're just going to push a lot of power into her being a support, which I don't think is a bad thing for the game.
No, I don't think so either, but I feel like she's a really boring support. So I hope she at least doesn't see like much competitive presence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the changes are too gross. So I don't think she's like not going to be playable in like mid or AD carry, right? Like some of the ratios are nerfed a little bit. Her Q ratio obviously is like nerfed. The biggest thing is like her W cooldown going down like a fair bit, like is really really nice because that's a change that's going to like as much as they're trying to push support changes. That's a change that will be mid and bottom focused. In the fact that you don't max W till third, right? I believe.
I was maxing it second just because the only increase that you get from maxing E second is the damage. There's no like cooldown associated with it.
Okay, yeah, for support they do W second, for mid they do W second, for AD carry they do W second. Okay, so either way it's still a buff for like mid and AD carry because you get levels quicker. So like at level 13 you have your W max, which is takes 4 seconds off one of the fucking strongest abilities.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, one of the strongest like slash easiest to use abilities, right?
Yeah, they are nerfing the power on it a little bit, but like mm-hmm. it's really really strong. Whereas like, support, which that's the ability you want to be using as support, you're not maxing that till level 13, which is your late game, right? Like
yeah,
so I don't know. It's I think they're trying their best, which I think is a hard situation for them to deal with.
Okay.
Tom Kench.
All right, guide us through it.
They are increasing his passive bonus magic damage. Wait, sorry, his passive bonus magic damage is decreased, but the ratio, I don't know why the fuck they don't say this,
yeah.
The ratio on it is increased. The W cooldown refund when you hit your ability is increased. So with W changes, it's fucking negligible. If you hit your W, it used to be like a 40% reduction. Now, if you have it maxed, it's 50%.
Whoa.
Nothing burger change. Big change is his passive. So they're reducing the base damage from, it used to go from 8 to 60, now it's 6 to 48. It maxes out at 11, or it maxes out at 11 now. It used to max out at 18. So it's actually pretty even there.
Okay.
But the ratio used to be 3% up, and now it's 5% bonus HP, which pretty well means if you're built any health items, it's always power positive.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, at all. Like always. The issue that Tom Kench mains have is this pushes him even further down the, hey man, you should really be building Heartsteel path.
Yeah. Which
I don't know why Tom Kenches are so against it. I understand the idea of Heartsteel should in theory be a bad item. It's just I've played so many games that like high master and the item still feels good. I understand the idea of like it feels bad. So I do agree that it's kind of lame that they're pushing more down this path. This item that a lot of people hate, but like, fuck man, this is just a power positive change regardless. It's not like a game breaking change. Him getting 2% bonus health on his passive isn't huge, but like,
yeah,
it's still power positive in like every scenario. Mm-hmm. So
nice,
cool,
good. They are with this officially making him primarily a top laner too, right?
Yeah, that's like the biggest thing, is like fucking trying to balance him for support is a nightmare, because if he's too good for support, he's just OP in pro play. So they're pretty they're not saying he can't be a support, they're just very aware that like it seems easier to balance him as a top laner.
Hell yeah. Nice.
Also, they called him a frog here, and he's a frog.
I feel like they probably also called him...
Nope, they say he's a frog.
Okay.
They say the frog is clogged.
But they also say that they need to unload the toad. So is he a frog or a toad?
He's both.
Yeah. So he can be more than one thing?
Well, he's both.
So he could be a catfish.
No, he's both. He's just a frog and a toad. I don't see. Okay. You guys are so weird.
No,
I've just never seen a frog with whiskers, is all.
He's silent. He has no response.
I was going to say something mean. Yeah, let's talk about Varus.
No, what was the mean thing?
Yeah.
No.
Ask the Yumi bot in our Discord to say it to me. up next, we have Varus. W damage is being increased. That is the just flat on hit damage. The ratio isn't changing. The execute isn't changing. The slow on his E is being increased by a 5% per rank. So 25 to 45, going now to 30 up to 50.
Okay. Cool. Zyra, base attack speed increased, plant damage adjusted, Q damage increased, E damage adjusted. Hey, they're trying to buff Zyra for solo lane and jungle?
I don't fucking understand it, man. It just makes no sense.
Cool. Plays Rungle. Zyrungle.
Yeah. Hullbreaker, they're nerfing it because, hey, it's Bless. Fucking OP now. Dude, it's so gross losing games to a 0-10 yep. top laner who builds Hullbreaker.
Split pushing is cringe.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like it's one of the few ones where you get, like, both ends of the spectrum really badly, where it's, like, the top laner that, like, you killed five times buys a Hullbreaker, and then you lose the 1v1, or the top laner who is, like, up 5-0 buys a Hullbreaker, and even when you send four people to answer them, they kill two and then escape.
Mm-hmm. I've had games where I fed Nirelia, and then she builds fucking Jack Show Blade of the Ring King Hullbreaker, and it's Ogre.
Yeah, it's insane. It's so tanky.
Yeah, I just think it's like, it's one of those things where I understand my split pushing needs to be in the game to balance out a lot of parts of the game, but losing to split push is probably the least fun thing in League of Legends.
Absolutely.
Even if you're beating split push, it's one of the least fun things in League of Legends because, hey, I have to go babysit this guy for the entire time. It's super boring. And guess what? The other end also sucks. Winning with a split push on your team also fucking sucks. Losing with a split push on your team sucks even more. Like, dude, it's just like, it's a gameplay that ruins the game for nine other people.
Yep, it is it is not fun, and I'm definitely glad that they have recognized that.
Fucking, I don't know if I mentioned this. I'm not gonna name by name, obviously, because that'd be toxic. There's one guy in this like one Discord who does community games who only plays split pushers every game.
Mm.
It's not our community, by the way. I'm not calling out fucking Large Dad who plays it sometimes. And is also miserable to play against. But dude, no matter what, he will play Alawi, Tryndamere, Yorick. Only plays split pushers every single game, right? It's his main role. He's like above average. He's like gold 2 or some shit, okay, or maybe plat 4. And he just plays split pushers and just fucking ruins the game. There was one game where they started doing random rules where it was all enchanters, right? You had to play an enchanter. He played top on hit Lulu and split pushed. Oh, dude.
That gets the blood boiling.
Just negative social skills. That's why like League players are in the place that they are in life. It's so gross, man.
Yeah, is that right?
I just hate it, man. It's just like, like I can kind of understand in solo queue where like your
goal is to win. Yeah,
your goal is to win, right? Mm-hmm. You don't care if you're ruining the game for nine other players. In a community thing where you are an active member of the community, going, hey, this will be fun.
I'm totally with you there. Where I feel like even when like you do like silly rule game modes, and I feel like a lot of times there's questions, and it's like the question is always like, how do I abuse this to make it less fun? It's never like I'm actually confused about this rule set. It's like, well, you said I could only play enchanters, and like, this character can buy a healing item, or like, it's like, oh, yeah, so yeah, like, okay, cool.
Just to like bring up like an example, so I do fun random rule community games, right? And like, for example, there's one where you had to play a character that would be good at customer service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is like, that's a very hard thing to define, right? But my whole thing is, the point is, it's supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah.
So if you come to me and you get into the game and you're playing whatever and you have a way to explain it, I'm so down, man. As long as you're not trying to just like abuse the system. Like, someone played Shaco, and people were like, Shaco, why the fuck would Shaco? And he's like, well, he can summon a clone of himself and he can do like double the work. And I'm like, that's like funny, right? Like, he's thinking about this and trying to make it fun. And it's like, that's all that fucking matters in community games.
Yeah,
not only in community games, but fun community games where you're playing random shit.
Yeah, like, and that's very different from, let's say, like, you did that one game and like, you know, maybe you would, I don't know, pick a character who you think would like enjoy golf, and like pick a character who you think would like to bake, and they just play their main in all three of those games, and they're like, well this is why my main would do all of those things.
Yeah, exactly. You're missing the point, right?
Yeah, people like that are the people who build Hullbreaker.
I just think that like that's a lack of social awareness thing, probably.
Probably, yeah.
On cool. to the next change.
Yeah, runes.
Runes. First strike, the bonus damage you get from it is going from 8% down to 7%. So alongside that, you will then also be getting less gold because you do a little bit less damage. I think it's probably still too good. You get so much gold and still do like very good damage with the item, as opposed, like, I feel like first strike should be something that you take and it's like, I'm gonna deal less damage than if I went electrocute or conqueror or, you know, dark harvest or something. But it's just like, you do comparable damage and you're gonna have 1,000 extra gold at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think the benefit is then you do have to take the inspiration tree, which is, I feel like, generally a little weaker than other ones. But it's probably not enough of a downside.
Just to do the quick math, by the way, assuming I'm doing it right, because I'm not very good at math. If you were to get 1,000 gold from Old First Strike, you would have done 12,500 damage to get it. This is unrelated to the gold, actually, right?
Yeah.
Well, the gold you get scales off of the damage you do. So when you have up, your shit does more damage, and then the total damage you deal, a percentage of that is converted to gold. So you're
and it's full deal. It's full value for melee, right? That's
yeah.
I think so.
Okay, yeah, cool. But either way, so if you're a melee character before with Old First Strike, if you got 1,000 gold from it, you would have done 12,500 damage. With New First Strike, if you did 12,500 damage, you'd get 875 gold.
Cool.
So, cool.
I don't know if that math is right, but sure.
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure.
Cool. Phase Rush is getting nerfed too. I don't know if you mentioned that.
I did not, but it is.
They've nerfed every rune except for grass, dude. Fucking top lane supremacy. Ooh.
Top lane feasting. Hey, jungle sustain adjustments. What does this mean?
They're adding 80 ratios back to 80 jungler because they got fucked with the old ratio.
Whoa, cool. ARM adjustments, mythic shop rotation, lots of bug fixes, and then some Cafe Cutie skins and Coven Syndra.
And
dude, the Coven Syndra skin's so good.
Those look cool. Oh, yeah, and World's Clash. Cool.
That's the Syndra skin that like people sent Riders death threats to get looked at because it wasn't up to their standards.
Oh, I didn't realize that was back on the menu, I guess.
And it worked.
Cool.
That's what started the uprising in the fucking Desaia subreddit and the there's Nami subreddit, maybe not the Nami one.
Wait, the Nami skin is so good.
I think it's Nami and Seraphine. Yeah, I think it's Nami and Seraphine subreddits. Because they saw the Coven people, like the Coven Syndra people, like harass people and got
it. That worked. Jeez.
So now the fucking Zaya subreddit, dude. First of all, the Seraphine one has been good. They literally have like a post. It's like, if you talk about harassing people, you will just be permanently banned, right? They've like hard stopped that. Dude, the Zaya one is like on the verge though. People pretty consistently, not consistently. There are many posts that I've read on the Zaya post where it's like, I think we should stop peaceful protesting. I don't think we should like send death threats, but like, I think we should like probably just like spam these people.
That's like, crazy,
dude. They're
for a League of Legends skin.
Yeah, the skin that you're gonna pay $20 for.
Yeah, dude, that's so unbelievable. Gross. Wow.
Also, do you see the fucking Rumble skin? Do you think the ones where he's not wearing like a suit, he kind of just looks like he has his cock?
Okay, don't say that. Sitting.
Look at him. Look how he's sitting, man.
Well, I gotta open
looks
it back
like
up.
Looks like he's gonna be fucking sucked.
And you're not wrong. There's just a fork sticking out of the center of the mech, like the lower.
Okay.
He's presenting, man. Like, why is he sitting like that? It's weird.
All right.
It's less weird than the ones where he's like one of them he has pants. Okay, two of them he has pants, and then three of them he has a shirt, and then two of them he just isn't wearing a shirt. It's weird.
I'm just confused, really, like, why there's a fork there.
Because that's where the electro harpoon comes out.
The harpoons, yeah.
Is it? I thought that came out of his arm.
No, that comes right out the middle.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's only weird because there are chromas where he's
because you're making it weird.
Clothes.
Because you're making it weird. That's the only reason it's weird.
If there's a bard skin, bard's not a good character. He doesn't wear clothes, does he? Does a bard wear clothes?
I think so.
Okay. Either way, the fact that he has clothes in his other chromas and then one of his skins doesn't have clothes—that's weird. He's not wearing clothes. It's not because the character doesn't wear clothes. He's choosing not to wear clothes.
Does he not have like a full bodysuit on? Oh, he's made of like foam or whatever, right? It's not like regular Rumble.
Yeah, but the
Rumble.
Other ones are clothes, dude.
Why but it's not regular
this?
Rumble.
Why do you want to see Little Rumble not wearing clothes?
I don't. I'm just saying it's not regular Rumble.
All I'm saying is I'm going to send death threats
all
to
I'm saying is
to make
from
him
this preview,
to put his clothes back on. Wow, you're
preview,
cool.
I don't see any toes on the feet. It's just a solid block, and that's fucked up.
Because he's a foam.
He's not made of foam.
Okay. Okay, we're done with fumble. Foam rumble. Where are we cool. now?
Want to talk about worlds?
Yeah, that was the end of patch notes. It's worlds time.
Yeah, let's
worlds
talk
time,
about
worlds time.
Patch or whatever. Or not patch, worlds.
Worlds has been good. I've watched most of the games.
I've barely watched any games, so. I've watched the ones that I have been told were really good. Or that I've heard yeah. were really good.
As a quick update, the two teams who have gotten out of Swiss so far are JDG and Gen.G, and the two teams who have been fully eliminated from Swiss so far are Team Liquid and BDS. And then we're going into our final 2 days of Swiss stage coming on the final 4 days of Swiss stage coming on the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. So be prepared to watch those. And then is there anything else you guys want to talk about before I rant about the Swiss format being shit for a little bit?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I've watched the first 2 days of games where, like, the big, like, mm-hmm. you know, one game sets. I thought it was hilarious that out of, I think, 8 sets, on day 2, 5 of them were domestic matches.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Which, I mean, it does kind of make sense because, like, all the NA teams lost and all the LEC teams yeah. lost, like, all Korean and Chinese teams, mm-hmm. like, won for the most part. But it's just funny to be, like, international event, day 2, 5 domestic matches.
Yeah. All right, Aiden, you're unleashed.
Yeah, either way, I think Swiss has been fun. It's been very enjoyable every day. I think this draw every day is, like, really fun to watch. To see who gets the cool matches. But hopefully we are now understanding why Swiss is not a very good format at determining who the better teams are. Because we have different strengths of schedules. For example, we have the matches coming up this weekend, NRG versus G2, and the winner of this match gets out. Which is cool. We get a Western team in quarterfinals. But once again, these two teams are playing to get out of Swiss, and NRG has lost to Weibo, beat Team Liquid, and beat Mad Lions. Right, and now they're on their game to get out. And then G2, on the other hand, I mean, the reality is, like, G2's performing fine, but, like, they beat LCK4, DK, they beat China4, Weibo, and then they got fucking smoked by Gen.G. And they are on they're in their tournament game to get out versus an NA team, right? Compared to, let's look at KT, who I think probably has had the hardest strength of roster. They played against BLG, which they lost to. They played against D+, who they beat, and then they played against Weibo, who they beat, and now they have to play LNG to they're on their tournament life, are they? Or are they
no, this is left? To get they're, out because they won this, two.
Oh, they yeah. The, sorry, like the yeah, way that is formatted is mm-hmm. so that there's only games to get out and only games to like
to stay in
survive right now. Yes, mm-hmm. and they're broken up, so like that middle day is one team's playing to get out, one team's playing to stay in. That's sorry, it's a weird format.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like fuck, man. Like, if they lose to LNG, they're gonna have to play potentially Weibo again. Like, dude, it's just fucked. It's like their strength schedule is completely fucking different, and like. I understand, like, to win the tournament, you have to be better than everyone. We're not talking about winning the fucking tournament, though, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the fact that, like a top 8 team will not get quarterfinals because they got harder matches.
Yeah,
right?
I think a good example of this, like, if we assume, I think you're saying it was G2 versus...
NRG,
yeah. So we assume, let's say, like, G2 wins, and maybe G2 is, like, the 8th best team at the tournament. I think, like, G2 is pretty good. I think a good example would be, like, take Weibo, right? Who round one they beat NRG, okay, like seed one out of NA, like theoretically that'd be a pretty tough matchup, or should be. Then they lost to KT Rolster and are playing against like Mad Lions. There was one other they lost to,
Weibo lost to G2.
G2 and KT and Rolster. Then, so like let's assume like KT Rolster and G2 get out. Like I feel like they right, like they got kind of shafted. Like I don't know. Like, I would have to really dig into it to find like the most egregious example, and I think
it's probably NRG, right?
It's NRG until like tomorrow. So one of the games is Cloud9 versus Fnatic, right? And this is to be on your tournament life, right? When you get to then go play to get out, right? And the other team gets eliminated out of Cloud9 and Fnatic, right? Who cares who wins? Let's just say Fnatic in this example. Fnatic wins, Cloud9's out. We then do the draw for day five or for round five, and there is a one in three, whatever the number is, a 1 in 3 chance that Fnatic draws NRG, who just lost to G2, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that now that means NRG has a chance of getting out again, where they lost to Weibo, they beat Team Liquid, they lost to, they beat Mad Lions, they lost to G2, and then they beat or lose to Fnatic. Like, dude, the strength of schedule is so fucked, man. Like,
yeah, it's pretty like, wild.
Getting out of this by like only beating Western teams and only losing to like Eastern teams is so gross when Eastern teams don't get out.
Yeah, and I was gonna say that when you like you mentioned it is that I think this is one of those that's like very imbalanced in that a team getting to top eight who maybe shouldn't be there, like I don't have a huge problem with, but a team not making top eight because they like lost to the like, you know, they played three of the top four teams in the tournament and like they just happened to be like the fifth best team and they just lost to like 1-2-4, but they don't get to top eight because of it.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it now. So like no matter who wins out of Cloud9 Fnatic, if they get matched against the loser of NRG G2, NRG Cloud9 or Fnatic will get out by never beating an Eastern team and only beating Western team.
That's crazy.
Like, It's a 1 in 3 chance, so hopefully we just don't have that scenario because that is like really sad. But like, fuck, man, it's just so sad.
So
when, like,
we could potentially get like, let's say, I don't know, NRG and G2 in top eight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then like,
it's very possible
lose D plus or Weibo or something. Like, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
it's very interesting. I mean, once again, I think there's been clear benefits to this. It's been very fun to watch every day. I just think it's not a good tournament to determine the best teams, right? And then we can also quickly discuss the seeding. So quarterfinals is coming, so we'll have top eight teams. The way the seeding works is, so there'll be two teams that advance with a 3-0 score, JDG and Gen.G, right? And there'll be three teams who advance with a 3-2 score, and there'll be three teams that advance with a 3-1 score, right? So the way it works is that JDG and Gen.G as a 3-0 scores, they randomly draw a 3-2 team, right?
Okay.
So here's the question though. So there's three 3-2 teams though, right? Mm-hmm. And there's two 3-0 teams. So randomly, one of the 3-2 teams avoids Gen.G.
We'll not have to face the 1 and 2 teams in the world.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I see.
It's not like the end of the world, but like it's just like shit like that. It's like, oh, you literally just have a 1 in 3 chance of avoiding like the insta loss. I don't know, man. Like, there's just so much whack shit, and we still don't have fucking, second bracket? What's it called? Loser
double
bracket.
Elimination.
We don't have a double elimination for this tournament, despite the fact that these final seven best of fives take place over 4 weeks. I don't know.
I mean, I was going to say that, you know, I still don't understand why, but Riot has explicitly told us why.
They like variants.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but like, wasn't it the average player, like the average viewer doesn't want to see like a quote unquote meaningless, like best.
There are a lot of people that go like, oh, it's unfair. Like,
like how can you lose and still win?
How can you lose and still win? Yeah. But which I don't know. Whatever. I just like to see good League of Legends. That's at the end of the day what I want.
Why would you not want to see more League of Legends? Like, that's the thing that I don't understand. Like, oh, we're not going to get to see like, I don't know. We haven't seen JDG versus Gen.G yet, right? Like, and maybe we won't see that until the final, but there's, you know, they're on opposite sides of the bracket. I can only assume. What if there's a chance that we just don't see it at all, right?
There's a good chance that we don't see it at all. That's like a super big possibility.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's teams that can beat JDG and Gen.G, like on a given day. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. I also, like, as an NA fan, like, I do like NA as much as, like, I don't think they're very competitive. I just try to be realistic. I don't think I'm going to be excited if fucking NRG advances by beating Team Liquid, Mad Lions, and Cloud9.
Yeah, it almost looks like they aren't advancing based on their own merit, but more of, like, a beneficial...
Yeah, they drew weaker teams,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, I like, from what I've seen, NRG does not seem like a top 8 team in the world. Despite having a very real possibility to be a top 8 team. It feels very much like H2K, right? But exclusively through draw.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's a little bit disappointing, I think. And once again, like, let's just do the fun games again where NRG gets through, they beat Cloud9 Team Liquid Mad, and they get drawn to their 3-2 team. G2 wins this, those G2's a 3-1 team. JDG draws two of the 3-1 teams, JDG and Gen G, and then NRG G2 happens in the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
So now, wow. Now G2 okay. is a semifinals team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, so it's not the end of the world. At the end of the day, I've been really enjoying World. I just think that we can be doing better, right? Like, that's my whole point.
Yeah, and I would also add, like, as much as these scenarios can and may happen, like, the top two of the tournament will still probably be the top two of the tournament, right? Like, finals will still most likely be the best two teams, or, like, two of the best three teams.
Two of the best three is very likely, yeah.
Right? It's just... It is frustrating, you know, like, see a team get to semis where you're like, man, the 10th best team in the tournament got there, or, like, even the 7th.
Yeah. And once again, it's fun either way. Like, at the end of the game, it's a video game. And once again, it's not fault of the teams at all. Like, you can only play who you're, like, up against, right? It's not mm-hmm. like it's NRG's fault if they do get to quarterfinals, or G2's fault if they do get to semifinals by beating, like, by getting, like, a lucky bracket or whatever. Yeah. It's just Riot does have the power to make a more competitive tournament. And that's the disappointing part.
Yep. To make the most competitive tournament. Like, there's no limitations. They own the game, right? Like, there's nothing preventing them from making the most fair tournament possible. So, unlucky. Cool. Also, if you want to, like, feel really, really good about, if you want a better explanation as to why we're kind of trashing on NRG so much, just watch their Mad Lions game. The comparison between that and any, like, JDG Gen G game is the fact that they're playing the same game at the same tournament so fucking funny to
me. Dude, that minute of play, you know the minute, like, I'm gonna talk about the mm-hmm. the fucking play where not Dokla, fuck, who's their mid lane? Palafox is playing
yeah
Silas.
yeah
he gets, like, collapsed on top, right? He's playing Silas, and the enemy team Nuke's playing Talia. So Silas steals Talia, he's getting collapsed on by five people, Colton, right? He runs top to the, like, what's the little corridor
alcove
called? Like, alcove. He runs to alcove, and all of Mad's chasing down, like, from blue side lane.
He gets the Talia ult steal off and flashes away towards the alcove. He starts channeling the ult. You're like, holy shit, he's gonna get out.
He's
this gonna, is
gonna
be insane.
He
ults straight into the entirety of Mad Lions with like through Talia E. It is like just kills himself. But then I don't even think that's the worst part. Nothing happens.
No, first of all, it's the worst play I've ever seen, right? Like, he flashes away, yeah. steals the ult, doesn't stall, doesn't ult the wrong way, ults directly back into the arena and kills himself. Yeah. And then on the opposite side of the map, like, nothing's happening. So Mad makes a mad dash for Dragon. They run all the way from top lane, alcove, down to Dragon, and do Dragon. And while that's happening, the rest of fucking NRG just do Baron. They just take Baron. It's like the lowest quality, like, minute
it's
and a half
crazy.
Of League of Legends.
It's actually, like, it's so fun. That's a fiesta.
Oh, dude, the fucking Talia ult into three people, dude, it's mind-bogglingly bad.
It's just so funny because, like, if you, like, you don't know what's happening, you're watching it live, like, you see it and you're like, holy fuck, Palafox is about to cook. Like, he's him. As soon as he starts channeling the ult, like, oh my god, he's gonna do it to him. And then it's just like a straight line straight into the pockets of Mad Lion. It's actually the worst play. Like, I actually think it might actually be worse than that Cody Sun play.
Dude, it's like Dragon spawning, he has TP. Like, you just stall, your team gets dragon, yep. You ult away, you can TP out. You have like a billion options that are like decent because you like stole till the ultimate and you got out. And the only bad option is ulting directly to three.
And like, okay, the only justification is like, I haven't gone back and looked to see like what vision he had. Maybe he wasn't sure like, oh, I can't ult like towards Baron or towards their like bad lines top lane because then I'm just actually ulting into other people. But observer perspective, it's actually just the most disgusting play.
I have the timestamp for Colton just to quickly Colton, if you want to quickly live react to this.
Yeah, live react to this. Oh, okay, this is so good.
It's so crazy.
All right, opening it up.
Oh, dude, it's so fuck. It's my favorite play at World so far, mm-hmm. I think.
Right. Oh, so far, yes, maybe right, ever.
We see Niski trying to pick him off.
Oh, yeah, it's Niski, not Nuke, sorry.
Grabs the ulti, starts running away.
Flashes.
Burns his flash. Ults. Oh, God.
Dude, it's like you're...
Oh, God.
Oh, my. What?
Dude.
It just looks like he's never cast that ability before.
It's just crazy because like the next like minute is just somehow worse. Like Mad Lions just sends five people to Dragon and Energy does Baron. Like it's like
yeah. I feel like the game should be over. You get that pick and you've like secured enough of a lead to win the game, right?
Oh,
but yeah. Oh my god,
it's like impressively bad though.
And okay, so they funny. They walk over a ward and through mid to Baron. While this dragon is happening, like they walk over clear ward, they go mid, clear the wave, they walk to the Baron and start it up, and just yeah, okay, huh?
Okay, I figured it out. I've cracked the case, right?
Uh huh.
If you go back to when he's casting the ultimate, it perfectly blocks off the I don't know how to describe that lane, like the tribush for that side of the map. Yeah. So I think he's trying to wall that off and then maybe hop off on the left side of the wall. Like he's trying to block it off, but then hop off in an effort to like prevent other people like from getting to him without burning flashes, I think.
Just imagine how good that play is if he just ults down like their lane.
Oh, yeah. That play is sick. It's so... Or hey, guess what? Or if he just teleports out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh.
It's
crazy that this is a net positive play for Energy, though.
Yeah, I think that's
the quality of game, by the way. That's the hardest opponent they've beaten so far.
That's the guy who says mid-diff after the game's over.
Absolutely. Oh, please watch the game if you like that. Just types in all chat space created.
Oh, just if anyone wants to watch the play, by the way, it's Energy versus Mad, and the timestamp is 28:12. It's worth watching.
So good. Timestamp of the game or timestamp of the link?
Timestamp of the game.
Okay. Cool. Should we go into Malphite for... Oh, I guess we have Roundtable.
We'll do Roundtable really quick. Yeah. Done. Cool. Roundtable, last week's question was, what is your opinion on new champion ranks? Should they be pickable immediately? Why or why not? From our Twitter, Nasejo says, no champs for the first week. Reaching 10,000 mastery points with it unlocks to be played earlier. Or 600 mastery level 4. Maybe 6,000 mastery level 3. Or 6,000. But you also need to give your own team a chance to learn with you, so rather mastery level 4. I don't like getting it behind mastery, but I do like the idea of like it not being in the first week or whatever. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think if there's a mastery, and I don't... it should just be locked behind 5, right? Not the S's.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fine.
Cool. From our Discord, Feast Forever said, I think that for 80%, maybe more of the player base, it doesn't matter too much. For me, the question is, question has to do with mostly the newness of a champion, understanding how to play them and against them. I'm gold, so I think I'm doing pretty well from what I understand, but I am currently just above half the player base when it comes to ranked. I would say I know about 15-ish champions pretty well, and I know another 60 to 70 vaguely. That still leaves a massive amount of the champion pool that I basically have a know zero about beyond some general understanding of their damage type. So if you played the new champion, or if you played someone like Alistar or TF, I would basically have the same understanding of how to play against you or with you. Okay. Now, maybe high elo players, you define that as you want. Definitely much higher than me, have a deeper knowledge that having this massive unknown takes away from that competitive atmosphere. But for me, at least, they're fine ranked for right away, because for the majority of players, unless, of course, there is super bad bug that is found, then obviously stuff is game-breaking. So he's pretty well saying that, like, he doesn't know most of the characters anyway, so, like, that being a new character that no one knows is, like, not super important. Which I've never heard that take. It's interesting, though.
Hmm.
Brandon said for patch cycle on release. No, I think it should be the patch cycle after release, since you can gather much information on how good they are or not good the champion is with the PB plus 2 weeks of gameplay. Plus, it allows the dev to take a look at the balance and bugs negatively affecting ranked gameplay. Casey Stranger says, I might disable them for like 3 to 7 days, hint, hint at people not to first time ranked, and allow a bit of time to hotfix particularly egregious bad balance issues. But I wouldn't do much longer than that. Preventing people from playing stuff they're excited about is generally not the greatest thing for your video game. I agree. That's a good point.
Nice.
Cool. This week's roundtable question is, what pro team has the best merch, logo, jersey, etc.?
I'll be totally honest. I never paid attention to any team other than CLG. I think CLG had a great logo, but I do think probably the best logo that I've seen is Cloud9.
Yeah.
If it's not the best, it's absolutely like on that tier.
Yeah, Cloud9's got a really good logo, and I've seen a lot of good merch for them. My answer probably would be going back, like, SKT or T1 now. I haven't seen a lot of their more recent merch, but like those jackets back in like seasons 2, 3, 4 were so sick. I still think they're super sick.
Yeah, they're like the bomber jackets or whatever.
Yeah, I want one of those so bad, but they're so expensive.
Dang.
Yeah, I guess I don't like, I haven't really thought about it too much. I was wondering if people had like good examples, but like I still fucking love I've talked about this a bunch on the show. I love when teams don't have just jerseys, but they have like an outfit that the team wears. Like I think like 2014.
A uniform. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like 2014 TSM where they had like the it was like the blue like button up, and then they had like the black like TSM jacket. I thought that was so fucking sick, dude. The black TSM jacket on like it the jacket like itself is kind of lame, but like the fact that they had like a team outfit was so sick, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You also like was it Griffins?
The gravity like fucking leather jackets.
Oh no, I was thinking of was it KT? Who had the tigers?
Oh, the Gen G's Gen World G, jersey from last year.
Yeah, yeah, you love that.
Where it was like the poorly drawn tiger.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The funniest fucking jersey I've ever seen.
Yeah. Cool. Any other like non-jersey related merch that you guys have?
I don't think I know enough about like people's merch, but I would love people to give us examples. Like,
I'll be honest. I think TSM probably had the best like merch in at least in NA. Outside of maybe like Cloud9, but we have FlyQuest as well with all their variations.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a better question for other people to answer.
Okay, we'll like take a look at some of the stuff though. Like, cool. It'd be fun.
If they want to,
you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeakCast, send us an email at mail@leakcastpodcast.com, come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leakcast.
Nice. I think we're going to catch up on Mailfight next week. I would say the vast majority of the emails that we have received were with regards to the discussion.
Our controversial email.
Yeah, the discussion that we had last week. So it makes more sense for us to kind of consolidate those all into another discussion. So if you have anything to add, you can send us an email at mail@leakcastpodcast.com. You can also watch us on Twitch.tv/KingLineUpBlueBasketLeagueCastFrost. You can send us a tweet at twitter.com/LeagueCast. On Facebook, we're LeagueCast. Visit our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.